Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You're about to hear a globetrotter with a purpose. Vanetta Hart spans the world to see how movement and culture take shape, and ultimately, move people. It's all captured on We Speak Dance, Netflix's first original program of 2018. Vanetta Hart joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, like Golden Globes, like Critics' Choice, our classic trivia question of the week, and what did we learn from CES 2018 that will forward you and your TV relationship? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and presented over the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, power development partner of the New York Television Festival, and a global and spoken audio entertainment and information program that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television. And lo and behold, here in the New York metro area, 61 degrees at the top of the hour. Who could know just a week ago yesterday, a week ago today? I have a wonderful guest for you in the hour or so ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a ring from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. If you have a question or comment for our upcoming guest, that's 646-652-2906. That number is anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also be involved in our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're involved, and it makes the show even better when you are. And when the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And Vanetta Hart from We Speak Dance on Netflix, live with us here in New York, after these news notes. The Critics' Choice TV Awards were carried live on the CW last night, and if you saw the Golden Globes this past Sunday on NBC, and then saw what happened last night, you might be thinking, were they about the same in terms of results? You bet, but there were some surprises. Let's run down the winners. First, in the comedy category, like the Golden Globes, the comedy winner was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. But there were two surprises in the acting category. Starting with the Best Comedy Actor, Ted Danson of NBC's The Good Place. Best Comedy Actress, like the Golden Globes, Rachel Brosnahan, who plays Mrs. M. In the Supporting Actor category for comedy, Walton Goggins for the HBO series Vice Principal. And for Supporting Actress, Blossom herself, Maya Bialik, for The Big Bang Theory on CBS. Moving over to drama, like the Golden Globes, the winner was The Handmaid's Tale for Best Drama Program. And the acting category, the lead acting category, is the same as well. Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us on NBC, and Elizabeth Moss for Best Drama Actress for The Handmaid's Tale. In the Supporting Actor category for drama, the winner was David Harbour for Netflix's Stranger Things. And in Supporting Actress, Anne Dowd, also for The Handmaid's Tale. In the Limited Series or Limited Series category, the big winner, HBO's Big Little Lies. In the Made-for-TV Movie category, yes, they do separate Limited and Made-for-TV Movie here. Another HBO winner, the Robert De Niro starring film, The Wizard of Lies. And in the Limited Actor category, the winner was Ewan McGregor for Fargo, like he was Sunday night with the Golden Globes. Limited Actress, Nicole Kidman for Big, and Supporting Actor and Actress, again, Alexander Skarsgård and Laura Dern for their respective roles in Big Little Lies. In terms of other program winners, they were Jimmy Kimmel Live in Talk Show, Rick and Morty and Adult Swim for Animation, Born This Way on Shark Tank in the Unscripted categories, The Voice on NBC for Reality Competition, and finally for Best Host in a Reality Competition Show, the winner was RuPaul in VH1's RuPaul's Drag Race. And that were the winners of the Critics' Choice TV Awards, which along with their movie categories were presented last night on the CW. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live here in New York, the creator, host, and performer of We Speak Dance on Netflix, Vanetta Hart. Vanetta, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here. And I love your energy, so much energy behind those announcements.
Thank you very much, Vanetta. I really appreciate it. And I know from watching your show, you have a lot of energy yourself, not just in terms of the dances you learn, but even more importantly, the cultures that you bump up against on your episodes.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're really excited to be on Netflix. We launched New Year's Day, and we really think this is the first of its kind, a dance politics show. So we're really excited to share it with the world.
How did this show get to happen on New Year's Day on Netflix?
Well, it was a long journey. I was living in Nairobi, Kenya, and I was working for the United Nations on ending violence against women. And simultaneously, I was also a judge on Kenya's version of So You Think You Can Dance. And having these two things happen at the same time made me realize that no one was doing content on dance outside of competition. There are some films here and there, but there wasn't a format looking at the depth of dance as a culture and the connection between social change and dance and all the different ways dance can be used. So I started filming in Kenya. Then I raised some money from a Nigerian prince. He transferred money into my bank account. And we ended up filming in Nigeria and Ghana. And came back to the U.S., New York, and eventually L.A., and closed out this deal with Netflix last year.
When you approached Netflix, what was their reaction to what you were doing? Because this is a really unique story, because this is the first time I've heard of a Netflix show like this that really, in a way, is sort of a unique thing that they did. It's a really a big gamble on their part, because they probably did not know who you were. What moved them to take this on as a series?
Well, I think my attitude has always been just a fast-moving train. This show is going on if you like it or not. So I just kept filming. I actually filmed in 6 countries before it was picked up on Netflix. So it was a really long journey, and I had one pilot episode in Nigeria that we shot that was ready to share. It was a rough cut, but I think it really gave Netflix an idea of what I was up to and what the potential of this project could be. And I think they're looking for stuff that, you know, can speak to a global audience. They have, you know, viewing, streaming so many countries. So when you're looking at dance culture, this is really the first language, the most universal language that we have. I think that they could see the potential of this being something that their audiences in the U.S. as well as internationally would really enjoy.
When you put the episodes together, what made you think, okay, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, these are the people I want to meet, and these are the dances I want to learn?
That's a great question. Well, when I first arrive in a country, I always ask, where are the best dancers? And this takes me on an episode of many adventures. So what you see on the show is real. We arrive in a place, we don't know people, we ask around, we go on adventures. In Lebanon, We arrived and we said, you know, where can we find the most interesting dancing? Who is the best dancer? What styles are important? And we ended up being invited to a Lebanese wedding within 30 minutes of arriving. So these are kind of the things and the magic that happens. I think some of the pre-production process when I reach out to people beforehand is great, but I think we got some of our best talent when we were just authentically hanging out, traveling, adventuring, partying out in these countries. I selected the places based on where my very well-traveled friends recommended going and their favorite places to party, to dance, food, culture. So I kind of had a list in my head of places that I'd like to go. That also I wanted to make sure to get a really global scope of different cultures around the world. So I tried to at least, you know, show 3 or 4 continents, and that was challenging to, you know, make sure that we show the diversity of dance. And so, yeah, we picked 5 of the episodes to go on season 1. For season 2, we hope to really hit every continent and even more diverse styles of dance.
Vandana Hart is the creator, the host, and the performer on We Speak Dance. And if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google Chrome, etc., you can pick it up on Netflix. Vandana joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. If you have a question or comment for Vandana, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We have a very musical 90-minute episode coming your way on Monday, kicking it off. The guiding force behind Lip Sync Battle on Spice TV, which next week becomes the Paramount Network, Casey Patterson, and her brand new spin-off show, Lip Sync Battle Shorties, premieres tonight on Nickelodeon. We'll talk about both programs, especially the Paramount Network opener, which will be live from Los Angeles, and we devote to the music of Michael Jackson. Then we'll hear about a new Elton John special called The Nation's Favorite Song, premieres January 27th on Reels Channel. We've got the executive producer, Mark Robinson, and the director, Carrie Allison. And finally, from Fox's new reality competition hit, The Player, which was on last night, executive producer David Friedman. A very musical 90 minutes coming your way Monday on Tomorrow We Televised. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here. So tune us in and be with us as much as you can. It's going to be a fun one. But then it looks like from the episodes that you are a very versatile dancer. It seems that you have a knack for really getting into the culture or really getting into the movement. Is that a pretty fair statement, or did you find it more challenging?
Oh, it depends on the country. I've traveled quite a bit. I was born in Russia and have lived in Europe and Latin America and in Africa. So I think having a lot of exposure to different cultures has really helped. But sometimes, you know, every place is different. And I think you can't, just because you're well-traveled doesn't mean that you can go anywhere and easily, you know, fit in or, you know, be welcomed fully. So I think like Bali was such an interesting place to travel to because, you know, people don't really care about Netflix as much. And many people approached them about doing dance. So they were kind of more like, well, what do you have to bring us? So a lot of the things that I found to be very helpful in traveling and sharing dance is I give workshops. I usually always give a dance workshop when I go to a different location. And this really makes it more of a sharing and exchange of culture, not just a one-way relationship.
In some of the episodes I've seen, Dan, that is one of the big highlights, is when you get to that workshop, particularly when it's very intimate, let's say 5-10 people, and you're showing them a particular cultural movement. And you look at the people you teach, and it's like something sparkles.
Definitely. One of my favorite moments was when I was living in Kenya. I learned traditional dance moves from a Maasai tribe. They were teaching me the dance for killing a lion, the circumcision dance, the dance for weddings. And then we got to exchange, and I was teaching them some old school hip hop moves that I'd learned in New York. So these kinds of interactions are really awesome. And the wives of all these Maasai warriors were just crying. They were laughing so hard watching their husbands try to do this new style of dance. And I think that's really the great part, is that exchange of what we've learned, what languages we've learned from our bodies, and exchanging that, because I think that can be much more powerful than words.
How do you see in this program dance impacting not just the culture of a country or a group of people, but what they're dealing, the environment, what they deal with on a day-to-day basis? Because in some of your episodes, you get into some areas of a country that some might call underbelly, some might call the side we don't see on a daily or nightly basis, or rarely see, that there are human beings out there that are not, let's say, having the greatest lot in their life.
Definitely. No, this is a huge challenge, is how do we talk about poverty and art? And when we go to places and talk about their culture, how do we honor and respect their culture? And what's the role of that? And the ethos of We Speak Dance is that dance does not only just elevate culture, dance can redefine culture. And this is something that I've really seen across all the countries that I've been in, is dance is not just showcasing the reality of day-to-day life and telling those stories as a time capsule. Dance is also an active tool that we can use to transform lives. And a really beautiful example of that is when we danced in Lebanon, we visited a refugee camp where many of the children didn't even have access to education. And we provided a dance workshop there with a local dancer who was half Syrian, half Lebanese, and he'd never been to a refugee camp before himself. And this was just an incredible opportunity to share and exchange and dance with them. We did some traditional dance styles with them that they were very familiar with, the Debke, which is a 3,000-year-old dance. But we also shared some moves that were really new to them, and they just came to life. These kids were shining, and you would never know that they were refugees, that they were suffering, that many of them lost their families. So in that moment of really sharing that art, they were fully empowered, they were fully activated and alive, and really hopeful for the future. So we hope for We Speak Dance to not just be a show on Netflix. We hope for it to be a movement where we can set up arts education programs and use dance to empower communities and support local dance leaders to be really ambassadors of their culture and connect dance to the most important social issues that are happening for young people in cities around the world.
And Debbie, why do you call this show We Speak Dance?
That's a great question. Well, we mostly with titles with dance in them, it starts to kind of sound corny. And we had a really long list of potential things. And We Speak Dance is a really powerful thing because it's about community. It's about us. It's about we. And it's not I Speak Dance. It's not a show about me. I call myself the facilitator, not the host of the show. And I like to bring people together of all different backgrounds, and I think that's my superpower. But it's really about showcasing the talent and the beauty of dance across the world and how it's transforming people's lives on an individual level as well as shifting their communities and their societies. So the we is really intentional. The speak is dance as a language is our first language. I think even before any words, music and dance is really part of our DNA. It's human instinct. And then dance, of course, translated in different languages, really resonates with people. And that's kind of a little bit of the background. But part of it is just it's really challenging to find the right title. And we feel when I came up with this one, brainstorming with my team in Nigeria, this one just felt like energized and exciting and something that could match a show of this scale.
And then of all the episodes you did for this first go-around, what was the one episode that either was the most surprising for you in terms of how it turned out or the most that gave you a lot of reflection, that sort of gave you like, this is totally different from what I thought?
Definitely. Well, I'd have to say, too, Vietnam was really surprising. I learned pole dancing from a very famous pole dancer who opened the first studio in Hanoi, and she did a public performance pole dancing. And she said that she was stigmatized for being a pole dancer more in Europe than she was in Vietnam. And I just couldn't believe that. And she said, well, the reason is because during the communist time, there really wasn't much pole dancing. And now any pole dance performance is really considered an art form. And people haven't seen it as a sexualized dance form, or they don't objectify women's bodies. Where there's a longer history of pole dancing being something just for male pleasure in other parts of the world. So that was something that really surprised me that I learned in Vietnam. In Nigeria, we really weren't expecting to meet the Fela family, the famous Femi and Yeni Kuti, who were carrying on Fela's legacy of music and dance. And interviewing Yeni Kuti about Afrobeat music and the connection between dance and revolution with Femi Kuti was one of the highlights of my life. And being able to perform on stage at the shrine with Femi and his dancers was nothing that we had planned for or hoped for and couldn't even dream of, but it ended up happening organically as we were there. So that was definitely a highlight from filming.
What kind of dance did you do there in Nigeria for that episode?
That was Afrobeat dance. So it's a lot of booty shaking. It's a lot of, like, Miley Cyrus did not invent twerking. It goes back many, many thousands of years in West Africa, and it's very clear on that episode where it comes from. And Afrobeat is such a revolutionary dance that is connected to revolution in 1960s with Femi Kuti, so with Fela Kuti and his family. So the family's really carrying on the legacy, and to be part of that in any way and to witness it was really a true privilege.
How is Afrobeat dancing different from either pure African dance that we sometimes see around the country, this country, or Afro-Cuban dancing, which many people consider sort of the birth of such modern dance forms and born like mambo, rumba, et cetera?
Oh, great question. Well, it's different parts of the body that are emphasized. So, yes, the hips are probably the most important. What you see in West African dance is very grounded to the earth movement. You really need to bend your knees and get low. There's lots of gyrating and arching of the back. Where with Rumba and like Afro-Cuban dance, there's a lot more isolation between the upper body and the lower body that are happening simultaneously. You do see a connection with Afro-infused dance, but they all have their own rhythms, which sometimes are on the offbeat. And with Afrobeat dance, there's really this fusion. It's really a reflection of the music. So the music is a fusion of jazz as well as traditional African music. So the movement kind of has some modern inflections as well as a lot of it based in traditional African dance. I found less arm movement in Afrobeat. It's much more in the hips and more simplistic and gentle. The way that a saxophone could be played is kind of what you see on the women's bodies as they dance.
We See Dance is Netflix's first new original series of 2018. It's free on New Year's Day, and it continues 24/7 on Netflix. And if you have a smart TV set or any smart TV connected device, whether it's Apple TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, NVIDIA Shield, you can catch it anytime you like. We've got the creator and the performer of the program, Vandana Hart. She's with us live in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tommy Appleman with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You have a question or comment? Vandana. Got a few more minutes with her, so get it in. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And while we're on the subject of dance, I want to give a shout out to the people from USA Dance. That's the Amateur Ballroom Dance Association, because this weekend a major competition is taking place here in the New York area. It's the Manhattan Amateur Classic. It's one of the longest running of its kind. More than 1,100 dancers will be showing up at the Hyatt Regency Jersey City starting tomorrow morning and going on throughout Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. There's a welcoming party, by the way, tonight from 7 to 11 p.m. So if you're in the New York City area, head on down to the Hyatt Regency Jersey City. See some wonderful dance talent doing their thing and everything from tango to rumba to swing. You got it. Some wonderful stuff. And that kicks off with a welcome party tonight at 7 o'clock local time and continues tomorrow morning into Monday afternoon. That's the Manhattan Amateur Classic taking place from the USA Dance's local chapter at the Hyatt Regency Jersey City. For more details, go to Facebook.com, go to Manhattan Amateur Classic or MAC 2018 Welcome Party, and you'll get all the details. Vandana, what's been the reaction so far, A, from Netflix, and B, from their viewers?
Yeah, well, I've been getting emails from around the world, just people wanting me to come to their countries, and I think that is the ultimate rubric for success, is people inviting me to come to their communities to dance and learn their styles of dance. And I've gotten emails from Hawaii, from New Zealand, Australia, India, Mexico, many emails from Brazil. Just people really energized and wanting to be part of this in any way. And one of the biggest compliments has been receiving emails from First Nation tribes and Native American groups who want We Speak Dance to cover their celebrations and ceremonies. So these are all kind of dream projects for me to cover with the show. And yeah, Netflix seems like they like it too. So we'll have to see.
Well, if you get the second season from them, Indiana, where do you want to go first?
Brazil is very high on the list. Korea as well. With the evolution of hip hop, I'm pretty tapped into the underground hip hop and house dancing in New York. And really, the hip hop scene has moved from New York to France to Japan, and now Korea, really, Seoul, has quite the reputation for having some of the best dancers in the world, so that would be a really exciting place to visit. Iran is another place that I'm very interested in as well. Dance is almost illegal there, and other films have covered that topic, but I think would be quite an interesting context to learn learn about the country through dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you go, Vandana, what's your favorite dance to do, and who are some of your role models? If let's say you could interview, or you could have had the chance to interview anybody in the dance world that's like a role model for you, an inspiration for you, who would that be?
Well, I trained at the Alvin Ailey School, so being able to have interviewed Alvin Ailey himself, he's passed away, but I think he's one of the biggest influencers for me in my early days as a dancer. I moved to New York to go train at the school because I saw their company perform and really felt the soul and the passion and the purpose behind their movement. And I said, well, if you're going to dance, the only really way that it's worth it and makes sense for me is if there's something behind it, if we're dancing for something. And I really felt that with the Alvin Ailey Dance Company, and that's because of his legacy and what he's built to fight for civil rights. And I think that's really what the world needs right now, is that connection, using their art for something bigger than themselves. And I think music and dance are two of the most profound ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I don't know if you know this, Vandana, but Alvin Ailey's Dance Company was one of the first dance companies to be on a television program. There used to be a show called Camera 3. It was on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, first on WCBS here in New York, then on the full CBS network. And in the early 1960s, Alvin Ailey did a television half hour of his best work at the time for Camera 3. And I don't think it's on YouTube, but somebody in the CBS, I think it's still in CBS's library somewhere. Maybe somebody should bring that up, because I saw it when I was at in high school, at John Dewey High School here in Brooklyn, and it's a wonderful half hour. No commercial interruption.
I would love to see that. Wow, I can't believe that. I'm going to have to research that. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. And I have to tell you, two of my favorite dances I've ever seen of all time are Revelations and Cry, the wonderful solo dance for Judith Jameson. Still one of the greatest glories you could ever, one of the best, I think, female rhythm dance, or rhythm dance period for anybody you could do. But Revelations is particularly the Rock of My Soul finish. It's still one of the great moments in dance.
It truly is. And if you watched We Speak Dance, which episode resonated with you the most? If you could join me in one of the countries, which one would you have chosen?
I think the Lebanon situation. I think that would be the one that I really learned a lot from what I could see from that. But I have to say the Vietnam one, which I did not see, and I definitely want to see that now, if someone would see, because I would not associate polo dancing with Vietnam. I would not in a million years.
Yeah, we hope so to be predictable and fulfill people's fantasy of a place, but also break stereotypes and surprise people with some turns and twists as well.
And there you go. We Speak Dance. If you haven't caught it yet, give it a try. It's on Netflix, available 24/7 on smart TV sets and on smart TV devices, from Amazon Fire TV to NVIDIA Shield to Intel Compute Stick to Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about the program online, go to Netflix.com. That's Netflix, Netflix.com. We Speak Dance. It's been available since New Year's Day. It's Netflix's first original series of the still young 2018. Vandana Hart, the creator and performer on We Speak Dance, thank you so much for making the time. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground. Hopefully it's the beginning of a wonderful run. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. Great chatting with you.
You're very welcome, Dad. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Vandana Hart joining us live here in New York on Tamabi Televised. Once again, We Speak Dance, 24/7 on Netflix. And now we will have more of Tamabi Televised coming up, including our classic trivia question of the week. But first, some words from the fine people at Audible.com. If you're in the mood for a very unique novel translated to audio, try this one, The Immortalist by Chloe Benjamin. You can catch it right now with a free trial subscription to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio music and entertainment, inspiration, so much more. With over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, great customer service because Audible is from Amazon.com, and I think a real listening pleasure for you. And by the way, you can give it as a gift to those you love as well. So check out Audible.com and find out why, in this day and age, listening is the new reading, and Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. For that free audio book, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Before we go into our next half hour, I want to remind you that we are here 24/7 at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You want to catch up on recent episodes, including our episode earlier this week with Michael Dinner, the Emmy Award-winning executive producer and director of Amazon's new series just premiered this morning, Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, based on the great science fiction author behind Blade Runner and Minority Report. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tamabi Televised in the search bar, click it, and you're in. Or go to Podcast at the top of the iHeartRadio screen, click that, then click Entertainment in the catalog titles and for categories, and you are right there. And we keep our episodes available for you 24/7 for the same pleasure. You can also check us out on iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. When we come back, our Classic Trivia question of the week, and what did we learn from this past week in Las Vegas at the biggest consumer electronics and technology extravaganza around that will impact the future of how you watch and use television? I'll have some thoughts about that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. and growing. It's your home for sitting around talking pictures. Join our good friends, Neil Rosen, Foley of New York One, and Bill McCuddy. They're doing their thing every week, various times, sitting around talking movies right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's BTR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. And our show and other BTR highlights available 24/7 on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We'll be back tomorrow's televised on this hour of Friday afternoon, 2018. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. We'd still like to hear from you. So if you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find that on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So thoughts about CES 2018, but first, time to check in on our classic trivia question of the week. And so far, nobody has come up with the correct answer. I'll tell you what, we're going to keep it in play through the weekend. And if you're first with the correct answer before our show on Monday afternoon, you will win, previously on X-Men, the wonderful new book about that Fox series that was one of Marvel's first animated hits in the 1990s on Saturday morning, written by Eric LaRoe, who was a writer and developer of that series. He was on our show last month along with his wife, who was also a writer on the program. And you can win that if you know the answer to this question. As I mentioned, Michael Gitter was on our program on Tuesday. By the way, we've had nearly 200 replays of that episode so far. He, of course, is involved with Philly Kid Dick's Electric Dreams that premiered earlier today on Amazon. So in the space of Amazon's anthology series, here's the question. What short story by Roald Dahl received three adaptations, not one, not two, three adaptations on TV anthology dramas? What Roald Dahl short story was given three adaptations, half-hour adaptations, on TV anthology series? And I'll give you a clue. One of those adaptations starred Steve McQueen. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. All you have to do when you email the answer is enclose your name and where you're from, full mailing address. If you're first prepared to answer, you will win previously on X-Men. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I will post the question both Saturday and Sunday at need be at my Facebook page, also on Twitter. Here's my handle, UDCSimonTWBT. That's at UDCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in, play in, and all the very best. Well, here we are, Friday afternoon, and CES, the biggest extravaganza of consumer electronics and technology, is wrapping up as we speak in Las Vegas. It's been a very eventful week. They even had a blackout on Wednesday that impacted what was going on at the Las Vegas Convention Center there for about 2 hours and change. But there were, I think, three things at least that we got out of CES 2018 that will, and you, should keep in mind for the future of television. Here's the first one. No doubt about it, artificial intelligence is going to be a part of every television set and every TV-connected device moving forward. And whether that device is Amazon Fire, whether that TV set maker is Samsung or LG or Vizio, every single set and device is going to have an artificial intelligence component built in. Could be Siri, could be Alexa, could be Google Assistant, could be Bixby in the case of smart Samsung TV sets. They're going to have it. And what does this mean? It means you have the power to command what the set will do at any given time, how you watch and use television, whether you want to order a ride on Uber, a pizza from Papa John's or Domino's, the use of a service like Airbnb or Zillow or TripAdvisor or HomeAdvisor or Trivago, whether it is to order merchandise from any given retailer, whether it is to play video games at a higher level than ever before, and whether even to control the direction of a program at various points, or even build your own TV episode or TV miniseries, in the case of Mosaic, coming week after next on HBO, from scratch. No question. The only question is, how fast will you at home be able to use these artificial intelligence voice services in the best way to make your experience a lean-forward, not lean-backward experience? If this is going to be an interactive medium, this is the last barrier that's been taken down. For years, people have been saying, oh, everybody leans backward, nobody leans forward on a regular basis because it's way too hard. Well, no longer. Not when you can use your voice to dictate what your TV set does and what you watch on it or through it. And we're going to find out, I think, sooner than later, how the American public responds, especially since Right now, 60% or more of U.S. households have smart sets and smart devices. And the greater thing is that this artificial intelligence, whatever the system is that gets built in, it's electronically upgradable like the rest of the smart TV set or device. Electronically. Not having to replace it, not having to go to your local consumer electronics store, your Best Buy, or a major retailer to get it all hooked up. It's electronically upgradable. And that is a big, big deal. So it's amazing to see how third-party developers are going to come in with their own apps to make it happen. So that's the first thing I think we learned at a